There's no question that when you look around at economic activity, you will find that everything's more expensive. If you go to the grocery store, of course, the Biden administration will tell you, well, if you don't buy beef or chicken or pork, you'll be all right. Your prices won't go up. Right. So if I want to be a vegan, I'm in good shape. I don't want to be a vegan, between you and I. But as you look around, economic activity is unpredictable, to say the least. The jobs number last month came in woefully smaller than they expected, a third of what they had predicted. Economic growth, not where it should be. But one of the things that I keep noticing, the president, when he goes out, he talks about, we're going to make good-paying union jobs. It's not good-paying jobs, it's always good-paying union jobs. This is because the right-to-work movement has been so successful since the time of Ronald Reagan in this country. Joining me, Mark Mix, is the president of the National Right to Work Committee, which is a 2.8 million member public policy organization. He also serves as president of the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. Mark, good to see you.
Good to see you, Steve. Thanks for the opportunity to wake up early this morning and be with you.
Well, you got to get up early if you want to get things done. You know, we get more done by 9 Amen. O'clock than most people do all day. I think I heard that somewhere once. Listen, as you look at union membership in America today, it's not what it used to be, but they still have clout. They still have power in certain concentrated areas, no question. The state that I live in, Michigan, used to be a big union state. We're not even top five anymore. Think about that. The big three, not a top five union state anymore. But what concerns me is the White House continuing to push good-paying union jobs, catering to the union. But they've run into some problems here. Because when they came out, did Joe Biden and his administration, with these vaccine mandates, a lot of the unions said, whoa, you need to pump the brakes there. They're not impressed. There's problems here. The love affair is having some strain, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed it is, Steve. And this points out kind of the differences between many unions and the difference between union officials and rank and file workers. Oftentimes we just assign, union officials that have this glorious thought process for all of the rank and file workers that they claim to represent. And in fact, it's in moments like this that we find out that union officials really don't represent the rank and file. They represent the political views of the top echelon of the leadership. And so what we have here is we have union leaders like Randy Weingarten of the American Federation of Teachers trying to impose their will on the CDC and the White House, helping them write regulations about how vaccines will be mandated. But you have teachers in New York and across this land that say, wait a minute, I don't want to take this mandate. But yet their union officials are involved in processing the rules to mandate it on those employees.
Isn't it interesting? I want to focus on Randy Weingarten for a second, because I'm glad you brought that up, Mark, because here they are playing both sides of the fence. You've got the unions saying, I don't think we should be back in the classroom. I'm going to cover the last, 12 to 18 months. Shouldn't be back in the classroom. We're not vaccinated. And everybody come along, well, get them vaccinated. Let's get them back in the classroom. The virtual learning didn't work. Then you say, well, okay, let's compel them to be vaccinated. Oh, we can't have that. And the whole time, they're milking the government cash cow. Oh, we need more money. These people are on the front line. We need more money for schools. We need more money for buildings. We need more money for ventilation. And the list goes on and on and on. And billions of dollars tumbled into the schools. In fact, many districts are funded at 2.5 times what they were in 2019 and 2020, even though their classrooms were never even open. What a game they've got going on here.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. The money that flows in there, they said it was about the money, but, there's also other issues. Not only did they get the money, but like, for example, the president of the United Teachers of Los Angeles said that you got to defund the police, you got to have Medicaid for all, you got to basically do whatever this radical, regressive left agenda that we say you have to do before we'll go back into the classroom. And then you work with the CDC and the White House staff and say, here are the new rules that we think should be in these regulations. It's not the science. They're not following the science. They're following the political science.
Well, they certainly are.
That's really the important aspect.
They certainly are, Mark. And so I guess here's where the rubber meets the road. You've got a president who's pushing the vaccines. I don't know if he believes it's the right thing or not, but let's assume that he does. But you've got union members, because here's what's happening. You've got not enough people to fill jobs all over this country in critical job positions, nursing, doctors, others leaving their job saying, I'm not going to get the vaccine because I don't think it's good for me. It's not the decision that I want to make. They're just walking off the job at a time when we have a shortage everywhere. The same thing is happening with teachers. Teachers saying, you know what? It's not worth it to me. I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. This is putting more pressure on kids who don't have enough qualified teachers in the classrooms in some places already. It's meaning school districts are going to have more trouble. I mean, you look at the testing that has come out in 2021 already. We are so far behind from where we were in 2019 because of the pandemic and the virtual learning that was a disaster by any metric. I don't care what your measurement is. It was a disaster. And yet the unions are going to fight the president. I mean, how does this come out?
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see, Steve. You know, one of the things about mandates is in compulsory unionism, the idea of the right to work law basically opposes the mandate that you pay dues or fees to a private organization for the privilege of working in America. And that's what the right to work laws are all about. Now we've seen it expanded across the entire country, across the entire employment sector. And people now understand, hey, how can government force me to do this, whether it be a vaccine or pay a private organization for the privilege of working? When it comes to unions, you know, they have this monopoly voice, Steve. They basically are the single voice in a workplace that's been unionized. And in the public sector, that's really dangerous. And we're seeing it, to your point, with nurses, with teachers, with firefighters, with police officers, all these people that are now allegedly under this mandate that are saying, guess what? I'm not going to do this anymore if you're going to force me to do something that I disagree with. And so the debate continues. I think union officials are probably going to get caught up in losing membership. One good part of the public sector is we've had that Supreme Court victory back in 2018, Janice Viasmi, that said workers could withhold their money from a union that they don't believe is representing them, and they couldn't lose their jobs if they work for government. So there's protections for workers, but I don't know where this is going to end up. We haven't seen the OSHA regulations that Joe Biden has promised. It says any employer of over 100 employees is going to be forced to have them get the vaccine, or if you're a federal contractor, although the post office seems a little bit fuzzy right now. Whether they're in or out, we don't know, because their union has pretty much power and has the ear of Joe Biden. So union officials are kind of
depends
poised,
on the union.
But
that's,
I think,
right.
It's a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Mix, president of the National Right to Work Committee, 2.8 million people there. What is the future here for unions, honestly? I mean, the Democrats, the far left, AOC, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, you hear them talking about unions all the time. But unless they can ram through a national right to work law, which I don't believe they can, I don't see that as a possibility. Too many politicians looking out for themselves are going to vote no. I'm talking Democrats, of course, who would certainly lose their seats. And you see a migration. You see a migration of working people away from Democrats, and this is union members. Trust me, I live in Michigan. Lots of union members here in my neighborhood. Migrating yep. away to what they call Trumpism, whatever that means. So the point is, moving to somebody who believes America first, that's where unions are moving the households, right or wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the rank and file workers, the disposition of workers, rank and file workers and union officials is growing wider and wider all the time, Steve, and you're pointing it out. I mean, not only are rank and file workers rejecting the regressive left views of most of the top union officials in the country, they're voting with their feet, and we're seeing that. And not only are that, the jobs are voting with their feet. They're moving to right-to-work states. I mean, almost 80% of all automotive manufacturing jobs are in right-to-work states today. Of course, picking up Michigan as a right-to-work state was a pretty important piece of that. But if you think about Tennessee and Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina and North Carolina, automotive industries from across the globe are coming to America to manufacture their products.
And that's right.
Right-to-work states are outpacing forced unionism states economically in almost every category, Steve.
And hopefully we can put cars together and put them on the road again as soon as we have enough computer chips. We look forward
to
that.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Yeah, that is a bit of a challenge. Mark, I greatly appreciate you being here. The union factor, it's still important in America, but it has certainly changed. Thank you for taking the time.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Greatly appreciate it. It is the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be back right after this.
Governor Whitmer wants Line 5 shut down, with no plan to replace the essential energy it delivers. That means a shortage of millions of gallons of fuel every day. It's vital energy that heats homes, fuels transportation, and drives our industries. If Line 5 shuts down, struggling Michigan families and small businesses will face higher energy costs. If Line 5 shuts down, then what? Take action at Enbridge.com/supportline5.
It's time for you to hear the truth. It's time for American history to be told straight, because American history is at a crisis point. Join me and Hillsdale College in the great American story, A Land of Hope. It's Hillsdale's new free online course, and it explores the history of America and her greatest triumphs and achievements, as well as our shortcomings and our failures. The free online course is an unbiased study of American patriotism. Join me at GruberForHillsdale.com. GruberForHillsdale.com.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
Michigan has been through some tough times. We've seen businesses close, unemployment soar, and the economy take a heavy hit. But through these struggles, we've been given the opportunity to rethink, retool, and reimagine. It's through strength and determination, drive and focus, that we will be back, and we will bring Michigan back. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.